me in tithes and offerings in these house, and it's something that I've purposely been faithful in over the years. And this last year, God just kind of challenged me to go beyond what I normally give or what we normally give. And just, you know, if you're, you know, he challenged me way back from if an offering was, I gave $20, give 50. And if, you know, I gave 50, give 100. And, you know, and he's been challenging me. And this last year, he just kind of challenged me in the realms of 500 and 1,000. And so I've been trying to be, you know, faithful. And God had spoke to me, and actually I had heard the prophetic word for this year was don't miss an offering. It was, I think it was Chuck Pierce that just said, offerings are very important this year for our harvest. And so it's just been really pressing. Whenever there's been a need in front of me or something, there's been an offering, I've been just really trying to be faithful in what God has spoken to my heart and go beyond. And so this last week, you know, they talk about getting, you know, checks in the mail. You know, when people say, you know, you just get checks in the mail, unexpected checks. I was like, okay, God, that would be really fun. So this last week, I got a check in the mail for almost $2,200. Unexpected. From my insurance company, of all places. That's pretty cool, huh? So, you know, I was like, okay, God, this is awesome. You know, so I just want to encourage you. I believe we're in a season that we need to go beyond. Beyond not only pressing into further into the kingdom and beyond our experience in the natural or beyond our experience in the supernatural, but also beyond in those natural things that God is faithful. And for me, it was like, thank you, Lord. It was awesome. It just encourages us to just keep sowing. Our harvest is coming in. God said that what we've sown, we have to believe. As a gardener, I sow and I believe that I'm going to reap. And that wheat field, you know, it can be 30, 60, or 100-fold. And so that's what we have to believe in. And so I just wanted to testify that. Hey, let's believe in, you know, checks in the mail.
Yeah. All right. Make sure your mailbox, when you go and check it for checks, all right? Hallelujah. Well, it is a real honor and a privilege to gather with the King of all glory, amen. We had a wedding last week. Jeff and his whole family were here with the two sides, and it filled the building completely up. And I said, well, we just have to work on our family the way it looks, because then we would have probably 1,000 people in here. We had a great time. Jeff, I hope that the blessings of the Lord upon your family, all of the people that come, that they'd be touched in some way, that they would make a commitment to Jesus Christ. And so we have a good brother in the Lord. I don't know what to call him, evangelist, pastor, prophet. Maybe I'll just call him David. David Lyon is going to be sharing with us this morning. Would you come? Let's give David a Community Church International welcome. Bless you, buddy. Hallelujah.
Yeah, I was told that one switch is washroom, one switch is non-washroom, so I had it on the non. There we go. Amen. Thanks, Jeremy. Well, praise God. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. I know we've already been worshiping and we've already prayed, but let's just not take anything for granted. Let's just pray. I just want to let you know that in the Old Testament, it talked about David prophesying on the harp and the lyre. And I was hearing things out of Dan's guitar today while he was ministering. And then I saw a vision of something that was what I was hearing. And I know in the natural, you go, well, that's crazy. Well, you might as well turn off the tape, the CD, the iPod right now if you think that's crazy, because it's just going to get better. But What I felt the Lord saying and showing was, even though it's cloudy out, I felt the Lord saying there's a portal being opened over the church. And I saw light coming down with everything gray all around. And I saw angels ascending and descending. And so I believe that today we have the angelic hosts within our midst for whatever you need and whatever this ministry needs. And so, Father, you said where the word of a king is, there's power. You've made us unto you kings and priests, so our words have power. So we speak forth what we see, so that's what it can be in the name of Jesus. Whatsoever things you believe in your heart, if you believe Jesus is Lord and you confess him with your mouth, you shall be saved. The word saved doesn't just mean going to heaven. It means set free, made whole, delivered, shall do well. So we believe things in our heart. We speak them forth so that we shall be set free, made whole, delivered, and we shall, as individuals in a church body, do well. So we speak forth what we see. That's what we'll be. We have an open heaven to receive from you today, Father. We thank you. We don't need to come here, hear another sermon, and just go and say, that was church. We need to meet with you. We need a touch from the divine. We need to hear from you. The crowds heard from you, but it was those that were touched by you that were changed forever. And so we just ask to be touched by the Holy Ghost today. We pray that your word will go forth like fire, and that in our hearts we'd be like a dry wood, and you would ignite us, Lord God. We'd leave this place with the flaming heart. We'd leave here with a passion. Did not our heart burn within us while he walked with us by the way? That's what we want. We want to leave here with our hearts burning within us. We want a zeal for you. We want a zeal for the lost. We want a zeal to see disciples made in the name of Jesus. For this earth walk is temporal, but you and your business is eternal. And so, Lord, we only have so many years left. We don't want to waste a day. The devil's a master strategist. He'll have you waste years watching TV and other stupid things. And we got to realize that we got to redeem the time. And that's what we're in. Now this morning, we're going to talk about second first chances. Second first chances. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Genesis chapter 1. We'll begin reading in verse 26 to 28. It says, "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness." That's why man is trichotomy, three parts, spirit, soul, and body, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. "And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them, and blessed them. And God said unto them, "Be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it." So here we see the best laid plan of God's been put into motion. God had a plan. We saw it right here. Made man, made woman, be fruitful, multiply. We got a plan going underway here. You ever had a plan in life? You ever had a plan in place for your finances, for your marriage, for your ministry, for your life, for your business? You ever put a plan into place? Anybody? All right, we better have a planning seminar for some. Okay, the best laid plans. God had a plan. God had a plan. And he created man and woman. He said to them, "Be fruitful and replenish the earth." But you know what? Something went wrong. And if something can go wrong with God's plan, who are you and I not to experience difficulties with the plans that we have in life? With the plans that we've made? A marriage that didn't work, a job that didn't materialize, children who grew up to be something other than you envisioned when you first held them in your arms, an unexpected death, passing of a loved one, health issues that hinder your quality of life. God himself had to deal with such issues of things not going according to plan. So is there anybody here today who can relate to something not working out like you planned? I envision having a full head of hair for the rest of my life. That didn't work out like I planned. How many of you know things can go wrong in life? Adam and Eve started out well, but in the process of time, things went wrong. And it was in the process of the problem that we begin to see some things about them and some things about God that we can relate to and benefit from today. Now, the very first thing God said to them was, be fruitful and multiply, subdue, and have dominion. Now, if they would have had children before the fall, it would have changed the entire book that we have, but they did not. They only had children after they succumbed to sin. In fact, after they had sinned or missed the mark somewhere, and I think we've all missed the mark somewhere along the lines of life, we see the release of chaos in their lives and the removal of a divine order and the departure from a divine plan. In fact, we see them running from God instead of walking with God. And there are times in our life where we envision ourselves, we first gave our lives to Jesus, oh, I'm going to walk with you, Jesus. And then somewhere down the line, we found ourselves doing something that is not causing us to walk with the Lord. You know, it's easy to increase the anointing and the presence of God in your life. Just find those things that please Him and keep doing them and avoid the things that He doesn't like and stop doing those. So when we do wrong, when we miss it somehow, we tend to run from God instead of to God. And like the fine young Christian man that Adam was, when he came out of hiding at the voice of God, he pointed to his wife and says, she's to blame. So there's a lesson to be learned from this. Marriages don't go well when you blame one another for your own dysfunctions. When you assume no personal responsibility, we have a generation that doesn't want to hear about personal responsibility, about consequences for choices. See, I notice there's a lot of changes in phraseology in society now. There used to be an ancient sect of people called Gnostics. And what the Gnostics would do is they would change phraseology to change thinking. I knew when I grew up, and I'm just going to be a little politically incorrect because I can be. And when we grew up, there was no such word as homophobic. But somehow that word came about to describe people that didn't necessarily support a homosexual lifestyle. So now they didn't have the word Islamophobic then, but now that means anybody that doesn't agree with extreme Islam beheading people, now you're just Islamophobic. No, I just don't want to have my head cut off for my faith. So I don't agree with you cutting my head off. Doesn't mean I hate you, I just don't want you to kill me. Okay? So what happens here is there's a change in phraseology. Words are very important. And so we see here that, we tend to get more dysfunctional. It's okay to have convictions. Here's the thing about a conviction. If you have convictions, you're going to get some enemies because not everybody will share your conviction. But no man has ever changed the world or changed anything without some degree of conviction in his heart. So marriages don't go well when we blame one another for dysfunctions, when you assume no personal responsibility, and you always think it's somebody else's fault. And if you continue in this, you'll never heal and you'll never recover, and it's not healthy for your relationship with your spouse, with your friends, with God. I like to think that the other person doesn't have really that much power over you. Because if it is totally their fault, then you're going to have to wait for them to change. See, that's one of the biggest things I found when I did marriage counseling. She wants him to change, he wants her to change. And I said, why don't you just start with changing yourself? Because you're not going to control the other person's choices, but you can control yours. And if you'll change, it'll be amazing how you'll find them changing. Well, her first. No, you first. And if you continue. I like to think the other person, yep, I'm just looking at my notes. Okay, so here's the thing. I don't know about you, but I refuse to place my future, my destiny, in the hands of another person's decisions if they're going to change or not. Okay, so Adam blames Eve, and then he blames God. He says to God, try blaming God. You gave her to me. It's her fault, and you gave her to me. Wow, talk about full-blown dysfunction happening right there. Then she reciprocates, and then she says, well, it was the serpent. Everybody's doing the blame game, blames the serpent. And as a result of sin and a lack of acceptance of personal responsibility and chaos, we see the world's very first dysfunctional family. So where's this, I don't know, where's Jerry Springer? When that would have been one for him. Or Oprah Winfrey, you know, when you got something that dysfunctional going on, they'd probably want to see it. You know, I like when they have these advertisements. If you've married yourself and have had children, and it's a what? We want you on our show. They just look for the most dysfunctional thing possible. Well, God had it going on. So, anyways, I like to hear of a non-dysfunctional person or a normal person being on their shows. The trouble is, then you'd have to define normal. And if it is for us as Christians, normal, if the definition for Christian as being normal is the express image of the fullness of the stature of Christ, then I don't think anybody's normal yet. We're still working on it. We're all still a little dysfunctional. And that's why we have a little trouble when we get together in churches, because there's a whole bunch of dysfunctional people getting together, imperfect people serving a perfect God trying to get along. So you're going to have a bit of problems along the way when you get a bunch of imperfect people. But here's the thing. The Bible says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. You will get discouraged looking at one another coming to church. I'm just telling you that right now. I get discouraged sometimes looking in the mirror, standing on the scale, you know. But when you're looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith, it gives you hope. So the truth of the matter is we exist among one another with our own particular brand of dysfunction. And therein lies that source of internal and external struggles of individuals and as local churches and really as the body of Christ throughout the world. So the first family of God's creation was in terrible dysfunction. That wasn't God's plan. Yet there came to the woman a glimmer of hope in the form of a prophetic promise. Thank God for prophetic promises. Thank God for the word of God. The serpent would bruise the head of you, the heel of your seed, but her seed would rise up and bruise the serpent's head. The head always speaks of authority. God said there was something still inside the woman, even though there was a dysfunction going on, there was still something inside of that woman that was going to come forth to turn the situation around. And you know what? There's still something inside of this church body. There's still something inside of you. There's still something that God has got going on inside of you. So in the midst of the chaos, God was going to restore order to her life. That something was not only going to come to her, but here's the neat thing. It was going to come through her. And it would reverse the curse that she had been facing. So it was a promise that gave her the ability to hang on. Do you ever just have some of those weeks, some of those moments where you just need to hang on? We just need, just got to hang on. I want you to turn to somebody today and tell them this. You don't have any problems when you got a promise. Tell them that. You don't have any problems when you got a promise. We begin to lose hope when we get away from the Word of God, we get away from prayer, and we get away from our promises. But when we got a promise from the Word of God, we got something to hang on to. We got a sure foundation. We got an anchor. So hang on. The curse will be reversed. The best is yet to come. I read where he saved the best wine for last. The Bible says that Adam and Eve knew one another. Well, if you know what I mean by that, they knew one another. She bore Cain and she bore Abel. So here was her promise plus. She didn't just have one offspring, but she had two. One, two. She raised them to serve God. And it's affirmed because these prodigies of the promise were bringing God their sacrifice. So she raised them to serve God. They were going to be the ones that were going to bruise the serpent's head. The bondage of sin was going to cease. Expectation was high. The promise has come to fruition. It seems to be in our midst. I can see it being walked out now. Yet how many of you know that her promise didn't turn out like she thought? And how many of you here today had great plans, maybe even held great Bible promises, that didn't turn out like you thought? Well, I thought by this time in my life I'd be here, but you're not. I'd be there. It takes a lot of courage to keep walking in faith and trust in the goodness of God in the midst of the pain and chaos, doesn't it? It takes a lot of faith. That's why I appreciate our pastor and his wife. It takes a lot of faith to keep walking. And a lot of people have been through a lot in life. Eve had to go through the very first church split. Cain and Abel. That was her church. She had the very first church split there. She was leading a flock of two men, and one rose up and killed the other. That's pretty serious. You know, when you have church members killing one another, you got problems. And why? It was because of jealousy. Jealousy is a killer. It starts in the unguarded mind. It eats like a cancer to the heart. Abnormal growths are then noted in one's conversation and conduct until one becomes a full-blown cancer Christian who ends up attacking and destroying the body of Christ. So Cain and Abel's controversy was over a sacrifice to God. Cain and Abel really had a church fight going on. And there have been more wars fought in the name of religion than any other wars in the world. Religious people always want to fight. Can't we all just get along? Well, maybe someday. It was the religious people who were inflexible with Jesus and his disciples and were bent out of shape because Jesus varied from the norm. It's amazing to me how many people want to be normal, but nobody wants to be average. How's that work? Truthfully, spiritually, I don't want to be normal. I want to be abnormal, above the norm, different. Jesus was very abnormal. Well, that's not normal. I can see he gets results. See, it was the religious people that tried to tell Jesus, the Son of God, how to worship, how to approach God. It was the religious people that killed Jesus. See, the unbelievers loved Jesus. His followers loved him. It was the religious, and the religious people will be the ones that usually want to crucify. Here's the thing, you're always going to be crucified by the unqualified. Might as well just get used to it. Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. See, thing about religion, it doesn't want to come after you. It wants to come after the anointing. Because without the anointing, you can't really do anything. Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me. Here's the thing. If you want the Spirit of the Lord to come upon you, get a because. Get a reason to be anointed. But the Antichrist, Christ, Christos means anointing. Antichrist, we think of it this way, the anti-anointing. There's lots of messages out there going throughout the body of Christ today. But it's the anointing that changes. It's the touch of God, the presence of God, the power of God that makes a difference. And if the religious spirit that likes to move into a church can quench the anointing, you can have a religious service, but no power and presence of God that changes lives. So you got to guard the anointing and respect the anointing and the people that God brings in your midst, such as leadership, your pastor that have the anointing and the gifts that God brings into your midst. So anyways, there's religious people that want to kill the anointing. Violence in the Middle East, for the most part, is rooted in religion. So Cain and Abel was a religious church fight over how to do it. No. You got to dip them backwards. No, you got to dip them forward. Just dip them. Well, is it post-trib, pre-trib, or, you know, I don't know, man. Just live ready. You know, I figured this. If it's good enough to live for, then it ought to be good enough to die for. And if it's good enough to die for, then it ought to be good enough to live for. So just that easy. So anyways, what happens here is this controversy. We know Cain kills Abel and Eve loses both sons. Eve loses one son to murder and another son to wickedness. The one she had hoped would be in the ministry is now dead. The other, who she'd seen in her younger days serving God, is now acting like the devil and is a murderer. See, there's no pain like the pain that you can experience from your own house, both within your physical home and sometimes in the house of God. You know, you, as a Christian, you come to the house of God, and you're a young Christian, you think, everybody just loves one another, and they just hug one another, greet one another, hello, brother, hello, sister, and then they all start acting like devils. Well, I didn't know that was possible. You know, I just wish they would have been real with us when we started training to go into the ministry and tell you not everybody loves truth and not everybody's going to love you. But no, everybody loves the pastor. Yeah. Bunch of liars. Anyway, that's why so many Christians stay away from church and the house of God, either through a painful experience or through an offense taken. So this woman Eve had a dream. This woman Eve had a hope. This woman Eve had a goal, sort of like God did. Yet everything she planned had been dashed. She had a prophetic word from God himself. Can't get much better than that. She was going to bruise the head of the serpent. Through her was going to come deliverance. But things weren't turning out like she planned. But God himself still had a plan and said, it's not over. And pastor, it's not over. Body of Christ, it's not over. Your business, it's not over. Your health, you're listening today, you're dying, you're going to live. It's not over. I want you to turn to someone today, look them right now and say, it's not over. And then you tell them back, you got that right. Maybe it didn't turn out in your marriage. Maybe it didn't turn out in your job. Maybe it didn't turn out in your church. Maybe it didn't turn out with your children. Maybe it didn't turn out with your health. Maybe it didn't turn out with your finances. Maybe it didn't turn out with your life's hope and dreams. But I'm here today to tell you, it's not over. I was once speaking at a minister's conference in North Carolina. Wonderful church. I think I was the minority there. And I was up front as the token Caucasian, and I was ministering, and I said, pastor, if we were playing basketball and I beat you, what would you say? And I loved his response. He says this, I'd say we didn't play long enough. I like that. In fact, you see, something inside of you, like Eve, may have just begun. Because it wasn't just coming to her, it was coming through her. Chapter 4, verse 25, it says, Adam knew his wife again. We'll stop there and think about that for a minute. All the men said amen. And she bare a son and called his name Seth. For God said, she hath appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. So you need to take notice of the two words here, seed and appointed. It's all about the seed, and it's all about the appointment. God's got an appointment for each and every one of you here today. And what you think is, you're the seed of Abraham, and heirs according to the promise. You're the seed full of the incorruptible seed who has an appointment with destiny and realized potential. When a woman receives the seed, she has an appointment 9 months later to conceive. When 500 million sperm are released towards the egg and they're all racing for their appointment, God looks down from heaven and he looks and he says, that one. So here's the thing. You're really not one in a million. You're more like one in 500 million. You're pretty unique. You're pretty special. God has a plan for you. So when the soil receives the seed, it has an appointment for harvest. See, some of us are not producing because we're not in the right atmosphere yet. If I have a seed and I just leave it out, it could sit there for years and years and years and years. It's not realizing its potential. But when you take that seed and you put it in the right condition, the right soil, things will produce. And that's one thing people don't realize is God moves in atmospheres. And it's up to us to create an atmosphere where God wants to show up. And when God shows up, then people want to show up where God's at. Jesus could do their no mighty works because of their unbelief. So your faith will produce an atmosphere for God to move. That's why we're ministering today. I want to produce an atmosphere of faith inside of your heart, because we're going to do something at the close of this message. I'm not just going to pray some simple little prayer, hope you all had a good time and might remember what I said by Thursday. No. The Bible says, and God working with them confirmed his word with signs following. So we're going to give a little bit of time at the end of this message for God to confirm his word in your life and touch you by his spirit. And like Saul said, the spirit of the Lord came upon him and changed him into another man. We're going to believe God for the spirit of God to come down and watch over this word, because there's still something inside of you that God wants to bring through you to help you reach your potential. Even though your plans may have been dashed, even though it's not working out like you thought, let's just continue on and see what God has to say about that. So when you who are born of the seed of God, and you continue to receive the word of God, you have an appointment to bring forth the life of God that is inside of you. All that time, Eve was in her trial. All that time, Eve was grieving. All that time, she was depressed. All that time, her life was in chaos. She had, in the midst of her mess, an appointment for something else. See, most of us lament the past, and that just brings depression. And a lot of people worry about the future, and all that brings is worry. You know what worry is? It's just the misuse of a good imagination. Don't live in the past. Don't live in the future. The Bible says faith is now, or now faith is, present tense. What you lost will never hinder what God yet has for you. Where you came from will never hinder where you're going. What you went through with Cain and Abel will never hinder your Seth and the plan of God. The book of Habakkuk chapter 2 says, though the vision tarry, wait for it, because it shall appear at its appointed time. Let me tell you something about appointed times. They arrive a whole lot quicker when you learn to speak in tongues and pray according to the will of God. You say, well, I don't believe that. No problem. Doubt and do without. Believe and receive. Let's move on. When you have an appointment, you've got something to look forward to. Anybody got any birthdays coming up? Anybody got any paychecks coming up? Anybody got a vacation coming up? Isn't it nice to have something to look forward to? Don't you think it would be so wonderful if people were like, Pastor, it's Friday night. I can hardly wait till Sunday. I know you got an anointed word of God. I can hardly wait to get there. And then you come to the church and they're already here waiting for you to open the door. Oh, yeah. I remember when I was pastoring in Minot, North Dakota, we had a snowstorm and people were canceling their services on the radio. And I thought, well, we got people come from out of town and we got a big parking lot. I better put a cancellation notice too. It just was a lot of snow. You sometimes get a lot of snow. So I put the announcement and I get a phone call from one of the guys in the church. Pastor, we heard about the announcement. I called some other guys from the church. We got some bobcats and stuff and we're fighting through the snow. We're going to clear that lot. We're going to have service. Well, I thought to myself, I guess I'm coming to church today too. And I thought, we had a service. Not everybody was there. But when you got people that want to meet and are excited, if you got stuff going on, God will show up in that. You know, I was going to minister on how to get the most out of a church service, but then the Lord said no, but sometime maybe we could do that, because I tell you what happens in the church service depends a lot on what happens with you before you get here. Just saying. Okay. Personal responsibility? I don't want that. No, it's yours. Okay. And we can all contribute. It's a wonderful thing. Okay. If we're rowing a boat, thank God everybody contributes. And we're all rowing the same way. We get stuff done. So, whereabouts are we? Okay. So when you have an appointment, you got something to look forward to. Eve had her Cain, number one child, right? Let's say number one. Number one. And she had her Abel. He was what? Number two. So her seeds have given her something to look forward to. But I want to call Seth, which we would call what? All right. We're not going to do that. We're going to call him the first. See, we got Cain 1, Abel 2, but Seth was her first time after the second time. And see, here's the thing. If you try to follow God in the dimension of time and days and hours and minutes, you'll miss him every time. He works with us in that, but he's not confined to that. And I'll show you that in just a bit. So she had her first time Cain, she had her second time Abel, and most people, they would be considered an offspring, probably count them Cain 1, Abel 2, Seth 3, but not God, even though the third is always the strongest. Now abideth faith, hope, and love, the greatest of these of love, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, outer court, inner court, holy of holies, 1, 2, 3, body, soul, spirit, 1, 2, 3. Jonah in the belly of a whale, 3 days, 1, 2, 3. Jesus in the belly of the earth for 3 days, 1, 2, 3. Cain, Abel, Seth, 1, 2. But remember, it wasn't the third time. It was the first time after the second time. See, if Seth had been the third, then it would have just been a continuation of bad seed and potential continuation of dysfunction and previous problems. See, if Seth was not the third in the line of lineage, so when you count Seth, you can't go 1, 2, 3. You're going to have to go 1, 2, 1. And I'll show you that even further. Because God said, get this, I love it. And I believe this is a word for this church body, and I believe this is a word for you individually, and you'll know exactly what that situation is that I'm talking about, because the Holy Spirit's here to quicken you to that. Because God said, I will do a new thing in you. Not for you, in you. See, the kingdom of heaven is within you. You're never going to experience things on the outside till you first experience them on the inside. And it shall not be a continuation of past mistakes. It shall not be a continuation of past strife, past church splits, past divorces, past business failures, past disappointments in every shape and size. It shall not be that. But let me tell you just a little bit about what God is really like today. When the children of Israel were taken out of Egyptian bondage, type of the world system, values and failed ways of operating, and we're in the desert journey. Anybody ever feel like they've been in a desert journey? Okay. We must journey together somewhere down there then. God said right in the middle of Exodus chapter 12. Now remember I said you can't confine God to hours and days and minutes and things. He said this in Exodus chapter 12. This shall be the beginning of months for you. So right in the midst of the calendar, he says, I'm going to reset you. I'm going to start a new calendar. I'm going to start a new year with you. This shall be the beginning of months for you. So when does, in our Gregorian calendar, what's the first day of the year? January 1st. But what if in June, God said, hold it! We're going to start the year new for you. You'd be like, well, I can't go back, so I guess I'm going to have to wait. No. We're going to start everything new right now. Because he said, this shall be the beginning of months for you. God gave them a new year amidst the mess of their old year. Woo! Think about that. In the midst of my mess, God gave me a new year. He gave me a new start. He said, I'm resetting time for you. If he can do it for them, he can do it for you. In fact, he placed a calendar within a calendar for them. Now my mind's starting to heat up. He placed timings within timings and new starts within old things. I'm starting to get happy. And if God wants to give you a 1-2-1 instead of a 1-2-3, then he can do that too. If God wants to stop the sun so that his people can prevail, if God wants to change the beginning of a year, then he can. If God wants to deliver you and bring forth your potential and says, it's time, I'm resetting things in your life and in your ministry, then he can. If God wants to heal you, he can. If God wants to bless you, he can. But the question is, will you let him? Will you believe him for that? Well, my mind's still having a little trouble with this. You know what? Don't follow your mind. That doesn't mean you don't work with it, but sometimes your mind's not going to comprehend. Just say, yes, Lord! I'm not sure I clearly understand everything, but by faith, the Bible says, we understand. That's how you're only going to understand the things of God. It says, by faith we understand. Not by head knowledge, not by understanding. That would make God too small, and who wants to serve a God like that? If God wants to give you a new start, whenever he wants to, then he can. So why not today? Why not right now? Why not right here? Why not? Why not? Why not? Why not? You came here today with a sense of expectation, I hope. See, the people that had no expectation aren't here. But you must have had some degree of expectation. Nah, I just had religious obligation. Well, turn it into expectation and get something. Expectation. The man at the gate beautiful, looking unto them, he expected to receive something. Pastor Rod Parsley always used to say, expectation is the breeding ground for miracles. We need to wake up with an expectation. We need to go to work with an expectation. We need to, wherever we go, have some expectation. I remember walking into work and somebody asked, how come you're so happy? I says, because I'm expectant. They said, what are you expecting for? I says, I don't know yet, but I'm looking for it. There's great things out there to expect. And you'll recognize them and you'll see them and you'll know them when they come. There are those for those who believe. Those who doubt will do without. So, here's the thing. You came here with a sense of expectation, with a sense of something was going to happen to you. In you and to you and for you. See, here's the thing. God wants to have something happen in you, to you, for you. You have an appointment today to keep with God. God came here today to meet with you and with you and with you and with you. God came here to receive our worship, but he also came here that you might receive him. Well, I've already received Jesus. That's wonderful. But God in his presence has much more that he wants to give you. He wants to give you things today. He loves you. Love gives. God loves you. He wants to give you something today. You have an appointment today to keep with God. You have a destiny in life to deliver. You have a destiny in life to deliver. God can start your whole year, your whole life over right now. Right here. Right today. Cain won, Abel 2, Seth 1. It's a new beginning. So let me tell you what God wants to do for you today. He sent me to tell you that your appointment with him today is going to be greater than your disappointments of the past. Your appointments with him today are going to be much greater than your disappointments of the past. We've all had past disappointments, haven't we? We've already established that. But we got an appointment today that's going to make those past disappointments fail. You may have tried once and failed. You may have even tried twice and failed. You may have been given a second chance once before and blew it. You may have even been given a second chance and you blew that also. But now it's the first time after your second time. Look at someone today and count it out for them. 1-2-1. 1-2-1. 1-2-1. Tell them it's my first time after my second time. Tell them it's even my first time after many times. It's time for my appointment. It's my appointed time. It's time for that new thing that I've been waiting for to start. We've been waiting for new things. It's gonna. It's here! Today's the day! It starts now! How can you say that? I can say that by the Spirit of God, by the timing of God. It's time. It's time for that new thing you've been waiting for. 1-2-1. God's getting ready to break you out of the old cycle that's held you in bondage. 1-2-1. God's getting ready to break you out of that old systems that have held you back. It's no longer 1-2-3 steps to continued failure and bondage. It's now 1-2-1 because it's time for a new beginning. Because God has shown up and he's declared it to be so, and his word is declared that he makes all things new. Well, I heard that before. Good. Today you get to act on it. Cain and Abel were the children of the flesh and the works of the flesh. Yet Seth was the child of promise. Genesis 4 told us of Cain and Abel, and we know they existed. Yet this is what this scripture, if you would, go to Genesis 5. We're going to get ready to close. Genesis 5, verses 1 to verse 6. Because when I read this, this is what sparked the whole title of this message. Your first time, second, first chances. Okay, second, first chances. Now I want you to read this, look at this, so you'll see I'm not making it up. This is the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God created he him, male and female created them and blessed them and called their name Adam, in the day when they were created. And Adam lived 130 years and begat his son in his own likeness after his image and called his name Seth. And after the days of Adam, after he had begotten Seth, were 800 years and he begat sons and daughters. And all the days that Adam lived were 930 years and he died. And Seth lived 105 years and begat Enos. Now, will you notice something there with me? There's a couple people missing. Who's missing? Cain and Abel. If you'll notice, there's no mention there of Cain and Abel. Why? There is no mention of Adam's past because God allowed him to start over. So that you and I could see that by the good graces of a loving and unlimited God, that we too could start over, and whatever it is that needs to be started over in our lives could start over. There's no record of the past, just the beginning of the new record. God recorded for himself and for Adam and for Eve in the holy canon of Scripture a new start, and he wants to record one for you and I today. What's wrong with saying, today's the day I step out of poverty. Today's the day I step out of depression. Today's the day I step out of all the guilt of the past. Today's the day I step into my potential. Today's the day. And then by Thursday, when the devil starts lying to you, you can go, no. I have a date. I have a time. I have a place. It all began. It's underway. Today's the day. So if you're here today or listening to this message by any venue of medium, internet, radio, CD, iPod, it doesn't really matter. The best thing you can do, if you'd like to start a new life, the Bible calls it being born again. You can have that right now. And I know everybody here is born again. But are you saved? What do you mean? Well, remember we said saved didn't mean just going to heaven. Have you been set free? Are you made whole? Are you doing well? Are you healed? Are you prospered? That's what it means to be saved. So we could have born-again people not saved, if you look at it in that sense. Yeah, you're going to heaven, but you're still struggling. You still don't have the victory. You still don't have the healing. But the first thing, if you're listening today, is that you do get born again, and you do give your life to Jesus. So if you're listening today on the internet or anywhere else, you need Jesus. That's your very first thing that you need. You need to get saved spiritually. You need to be what the Bible calls born again. How can you do that? If you believe in your heart that Jesus Christ was the Son of God and died for you, and that he rose again, and you believe that, and you confess that, you pray that. Let's do that right now. Lord God, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. There's no other name in heaven and earth whereby a man might be saved. Not Buddha, not Allah, nobody but Jesus. Jesus, I want you. I want a new start in life. I want to be born again. I want a new start. I receive you, Jesus. I confess you as my Lord and my Savior. And I thank you for taking my name and writing in that beautiful book, the Lamb's Book of Life. I'm now a child of God, and I believe it by faith in Jesus' name. Now, what I want you to do is, wherever you're listening to this, you can get in touch with this church. Let us know that you've received Jesus, and we'll send you some helpful literature to help you to grow. The other thing, though, too, is you can have a new start right now. If you're a minister, a pastor, an elder, a church leader, or a church member, and you listen to this message, and you have, those of you here, I don't know who's listening, who God has designed to have listen, but God knows. He might see you at home, sitting at your desk late at night. He might see that revolver beside your hand. He might see that drink beside you. He might see you driving down the road. He might see you all alone and lonely. God sees you. And you listen to this message. And you feel like your church or your ministry needs a new start. We'll call it a first time after a long time. There's a lot of pastors out there that need a first time after a long time. They've been laboring a long time. Man of God, listen, you can get a new start in your life and in your ministry and in your church. It may be a long time, but this is your first time after a long time. And it's available to you as well by faith. So we're going to pray. We're going to do business with God. And I tell you, prayer is doing business with God. So I want you all to stand to your feet. If the President of the United States were to walk in today, most people would stand up out of respect for him. Unless, of course, you're a goofy NFL player, you might take a knee. Okay. Some of you will get that. Some of you never will. But that's okay. But I assure you that the Lord of glory is here today. He said, if you would gather in my name, I'll be in your midst. Either we believe it or we don't. Either he is or he isn't. And I believe that he is. And if God were not here, there would be no capacity for change. But the Spirit of the Lord is here today. And like Saul, can be changed even by the Spirit of the Lord. God set a calendar within a calendar and times within times and gave a new start. And he reset the children of Israel when they were brought out of bondage. Pastor, I'm saying this ministry is being brought out of bondage. God is resetting the time clock for this ministry and its capacity and what it's supposed to accomplish. God can do that. What's it going to look like? I don't have a clue. How's he going to do it? Don't know. All I know is, that's what I needed to just convey to you. I believe that. I believe that. Your business, whatever it is, I want you to believe what you need to believe for you, what God can do for you. And that's all things. We're going to pray. And I assure you, he's going to hear. And he's going to heed. And he's going to give you your first time after a second time. And he's going to give you your first time after a long time. Are you ready? Let's lift our hands to heaven and tell God, I'm ready. Lord, here we are. Without you, we can do nothing. But Paul said, but I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We're not alone. You sent us the Holy Spirit. You sent us the Comforter, the Paraclete, the one called alongside to strengthen us. Set new times in our life. Set new times in our ministry. Set new times in our businesses. Set new times in our relationships. Give us time within time. Give us a first time. Give us a new start even in the midst of the long times. We believe that with you all things are possible. And we receive it now. Say, I receive it now. 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 It's my reality. It's my possession.
It's my right. It's the word of God over my life. It's my word. And my word will go forth and accomplish that which I sent it. Look for it in your life this week. When you wake up this week, expect different. Look for it. Look for God moving in your life. Look for favor. Look for people coming into your life that you never knew before. Look for doors to open for you that were never there before. Look for a new boldness. Look for a new wisdom. Look for a new anointing. Look for Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's no longer you that liveth, but Christ that liveth within you. Amen. Pastor.
Well, Father, we just seal that with an amen. Thank you, David, for preparing that message. Thank you, praise and worship team, for the workings that you did today. And congregation, God is very, very interested in what we're going to do in this next year and in this time. And we have to make these difficult decisions sometimes. And so we appreciate the word of the Lord today. If there's anyone that's needing prayer, right after the service, we'll have ministers here to pray with you. And God bless you in all the goodness and the greatness of who he is and what he's wanting to do in your life. He's not done with us yet. Amen. And I like that. So God bless you. You dismiss those that are coming for prayer. Come on up and we'll pray. God bless you.